Welcome back to Silverlight TV. My name is John Papa. I'm the Silverlight Evangelist here at Microsoft, and I have another return guest, Jesse Liberty.
John,
how you doing?
I'm doing great.
This is good. I'm glad you come back on the show here.
Thank you. This is it's very exciting. And people have said, if you're a Silverlight programmer, you're already a phone developer. I went through that experience of finding that, and in fact, what I'm going to do is build an application simultaneously on both, and you'll see that it's, with one tiny exception, exactly the same. Okay, so what I did in advance is I brought up two instances of Visual Studio. One with what you get out of the box when you use the phone template and say a new phone application.
And you haven't changed anything.
Haven't touched it. This is just right out of the box. And as you'll note when you first bring it up, there's a good bit of style information, styling available in app.xaml. Mm-hmm. And in the initial page to make it very, very easy to stay consistent with the look and feel of a Windows Phone application.
Right, with that Metro theme.
Which makes it terrific. Now, there are two different looks. One is the page by page, and the other is the more panoramic. And mm-hmm. we're going to start with just the very simple page by page. The second instance is I opened up a standard Silverlight application, very simple out of Visual Studio, and haven't touched that one either.
Okay.
And to allow us to focus completely on this phenomenon of being able to do this without kind of meandering through the code, I've created some snippets. What I like to do is not type in front of either a camera or a presentation, but also not drop 100 lines of code and then you don't know what happens.
Sure.
I have relatively small snippets here. And I'll just walk through it if that's okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, I'm going to try to stay in what we're most familiar with, which is the standard Silverlight experience first, and then bring that over to phone, and we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
So the very first thing I have is I added two styles, because what I'm going to do is create a very simple grid with prompts and fill-in boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And everything I'm going to do applies to all of our controls, but we're going to keep it simple. So I'm going to go into Solution Explorer, double-click on app.xaml, and in the resources, I will drop in my two styles. The first one is a style for prompt, and the target of that is a text block, and all I'm setting here are my alignments, margin, and font size, and font weight, which is to say it's going to be bold in this
right.
case. And I know that the prompts are always in grid column zero, so I threw that in
as well.
Yeah,
so anything you're going to reuse, why not?
Exactly. And I'm also going to create a style for the input, for the user's input, which in this case will be targeted at a text box, because that's the only kind of input I'm going to use to keep this fairly simple.
Okay.
I'm then going to switch over to the phone and once again open up app.xaml. Now here app.xaml is not empty because, as I say, there's quite a bit provided to give you that consistent look
right.
and feel.
It's got that theme that you're supposed to be using. Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm just going to drop right at the top of the resources exactly the same two, no change whatsoever. So drop the first one, drop the second one. And I'll be posting this on my website so folks can see these snippets and
right.
do this themselves to see how identical they are. So we'll save that, go back to the first application, save that, close app.xaml, go to mainpage.xaml, and here we've got a grid called layout root. That's what you always see as your starting point. And what we're going to do is create a second page in Solution Explorer in my application. I'm going to say add a new page. So add new item. And this is going to be, let's go ahead and make it a child window just to make it come up kind of nice. And
sure.
It's easy that way. And we'll call it form.xaml.
This is inside of our standard Silverlight application.
Inside standard application, I made a child and I made it a child window. Now let's go back over to our phone application, and here in Solution Explorer I'm going to say I also want a new item, so add new item, and here, because I'm using the templates of the phone, my choice will be, let's go to Silverlight for Windows Phone, that I can either make a landscape or a portrait user control. I'm going to make a portrait and I'll call that form.xaml as well.
Okay.
And what you saw pop up was the emulator, and we're going to look at that in just a second. And it likes to say, I'm here, as I roll over it. Okay, so we have a second page there as well. Okay, switching back, into our form, in our standard, we're back in our standard, we've got the, now what the standard does in a child window is it creates a button, a couple buttons here in row one, and what I'm going to do in row zero is to create a grid and give it an inner grid, essentially.
Okay.
Okay, so what I want to do is to say that I'm going to create a grid here, and that it's going to be at the outer grid's row equal zero. Now, I don't really want to have to keep struggling with where I place this. And it turns out, even though this is at row zero and the buttons are at row one, I can, in fact, scroll down and put them, only if I grab all the lines, however, I can, in fact, scroll down and put that inner grid at the bottom, which will make this work just a little easier to follow. So let's put it inside the outer grid. There we go. Now, you'll notice that the page that we created on the phone, Form 1, already has, if we scroll down, a title grid and then a content grid waiting to be used. So
right.
That's our equivalent. I don't have to create that.
That one happens to be in row 1 and yours is in row 0, but it's just because row 0 is already occupied.
That's correct. Exactly that. So let's go ahead and add some content to those grids. And you know what? To make this easier, I'm just going to bring this up and give it enough space that we can see it pretty cleanly.
Sure.
So inside this inner grid, I'm going to add a little bit of content. And the first thing I'll do is a prompt for the first name. So you can see it's a text block. It uses our static prompt. And if we look at the design of that, there it is. And the key thing here is that I want that to be at grid row zero. And so let's go ahead and make sure that app.xaml knows that that's supposed to be at grid row zero, grid column zero. So we look down at the prompt, and that's right here. So let's just save that. And when you find that kind of discrepancy, what I find is I just build the solution, and what's going to happen now is it's going to sort out that presentation.
Because so it looked like it was off on the right side.
It did.
And you expected it on the left.
Exactly right. Thank you. So we're going to come back here, take a look at the design, and it's going to load it up. And we'll come back to that and see what's going on with that. Let's go over here to the XAML for this. Here's our inner grid, and it's going to be a grid row zero, and we have a text block in it. Fine. Let's go over to here, and this is now back into the phone. And I know I'm going back and forth, but I want to show that I'm doing exactly the same thing. Take my first name prompt, and we did not yet, add the grid, the inner grid. So let's go ahead and do that with all the columns and rows.
Okay.
Let me go back to the original. You know, no matter how many times you do this in advance, and that should have been my clue that I had it on the right side, I didn't. And worked perfectly when I was sitting in my home. Let's go ahead and add to that grid the rows and columns, and now we should see that the design is behaving itself in first name
right.
Where it belongs. So now we're back. They're both the same. They have the same rows and columns and so on. Okay, so we'll go, while we're here, we'll go back into the XAML and of form1.xaml. We'll look at the XAML code and make a little bit of room. And we have now added the prompt, and we'll go ahead and add the text box that goes in there. So that's the first name text box.
So you got your label or your text block. And
exactly.
Text box.
And if you look at the design, you can see first name, and
yep.
There's a text block. Let's go over to the phone app.
But can you do it for the phone, too?
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. And so we currently don't have either the prompt or the text box, so we'll grab the exact same XAML, excuse me, for the text block and drop it in. And notice the only issue that I have is that it's showing it in black. And what we want is for that to come out in white. And so what I'm going to do here, and here's one place where I will make a change, is I'm going to go to that prompt style in the app.xaml, and I'm going to go up to the prompt style, and I'm going to say that for this,
and that's black because that's what the style tells it to be by default in the Silverlight app.
Exactly.
Your text box can be black, but in the Metro app, the phone
that's
app.
That's right. And I would like this to be white, so that's going to be my foreground color. Now, if you, in fact, were to drag it from the toolbox, it would do the right thing.
Right.
But because I'm dragging and dropping, it's easier to make this explicit. So let's go ahead and do that.
We're going through pains to make sure we show we do exactly the same thing.
Exactly.
So
right.
In this case, we have to deviate a little.
Okay, so now that that's white and we save that, that will force what actually would happen anyway if I were to rebuild it, and we've got the first name there.
Right.
Okay, and it's using the prompt style. So now we're going to go back over to our Silverlight standard application, and I'll grab a good bit more than just that. I don't want to walk through this one at a time. It'll take a good bit of time. So let's grab a whole bunch of prompts and results and drop them in. And what you'll see is that I have filled in last name, address, city, and the prompt for state and zip. Let's go back over to the phone.
I think we forgot our text box or first name here, too, on the Windows phone.
On the Windows phone. We can go ahead and get the thank you very much.
Yes.
Keep me honest. Drop that first name text box in, and then go ahead and drop below that the prompts and fill in. And you can see that fills in very nicely. And
yep.
As you would expect, and it looks consistent with the phone. We go back, and I have just one little variant here that I wanted to point out, so I called it out separately, which is that I want to put the state and zip on the same line, and of course the way that you do that is you use a stack panel, set the stack panel's orientation to horizontal. Let's go take a quick look at that. If I can, of course, find my way.
There you go.
There we go. And we can go over to the phone and use exactly that same idiom. So come up in here and take that same...
What did you call it?
Idiom.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. I'm the idiot. It's the idiom. And you see that it's giving us exactly what we would hope for there.
Okay.
All right. And...
Did we drop in the address, city, and state?
Well, we had, and it's interesting. I must have overwritten it somehow, so let's go ahead and put it right back.
Wrong one, yeah. There we go.
No, that, let's try that. Come on. There we are. And drop that in. Okay.
There you go.
Fine. And then we go back to the original, and let's finish up in the original by adding the email.
By original, you mean the classic Silverlight.
Sorry, the classic Silverlight. Yes, the web-based Silverlight is probably the right way to say it. I think of it as the original because I started building this here.
Right.
Built it completely and then took it over to see what the differences would be. And then let's go ahead and add a couple buttons, an OK and a cancel button. And that finishes it out. Now, this OK and cancel, this OK and cancel is redundant. I wouldn't build it that way. But I do want to show it's identical, so we'll go ahead and leave it.
We can certainly take it out. That's why you've got the operation
exception. Exactly correct. And so,
yeah, consider building a
regular. On the other hand, it does not like having a cancel button. You'll note. So you see that it's there. What I'm going to do is go ahead and take out just those two buttons because
if we had built
not going to be happy having
a non-child window form, it wouldn't have mattered.
Exactly right.
Because you have a child window, you're getting those buttons already.
Exactly. So we have now the design. And it is the way we want it. It's got an extra row. That's no problem. We're going to go over to our telephone, to our phone example. It is easy to get kind of lost in this, but what I'm trying to do is go back and forth with exactly the same code. Let's take those buttons and drop them in so that the form here does have the buttons. And
show everybody
if we scroll this down, we can see those buttons are there. And
great.
Email is not, so let's put the email in above the buttons. Come on down. Come on down, there you go. And this is the interesting that...
there you go.
Yeah. I'm just a little concerned about those buttons. Let's just make sure that everything's still there. So we'll save everything and go back here to this one and save everything. So you can see that the layout works, all the layout panels work. And the difference, of course, is that as you use the controls, the phone controls have already been styled to look consistent with the phone.
Right.
Of course, you can change that with templates.
The style was really the only thing you changed so far.
Exactly. And we're going to do some very, very simple logic over here. We'll go over to formxaml.cs and open that up. And the idiom that I tend to use is to add a loaded method. So we'll go ahead and that's going to event handler for when the page is loaded. And then put all my handlers in there. Since this is a child page and I don't want to fool around with which specifics, I'm going to go ahead and take my button event handlers here, and I would drop them in here and so forth. But again, to keep everything fairly simple, let's just leave that. We won't handle the buttons in a full blog post or a video. I will go ahead and do data binding here and make the buttons work and so on. What we do need to have work, however, is to go back over to our main page and find a way to navigate to that other page.
Right, because this is a child window. How do you open it
exactly.
up?
Exactly. So let's drag a button from the toolbox into here. And, of course, I would line this up and set it nice and give it perhaps a different color and a good size font and so on. And I wouldn't use margins for alignment. But I'm really content to just leave this and have it say form. What I do want to do, however, is implement some code to make that work.
Okay.
So let's go back to the code behind for mainpage.xaml. And what I'm going to do there is I'm going to drop in this code, which is going to handle the event handler for that button. So that button over in mainpage.xaml, and often here I'll split the page so that I can see it, but since there's only one right. and it's called button one, I'm just going to go ahead and say button one dot click. Oh yes.
It thinks you want clear value.
No, it thinks that I'm trying to go more quickly instead of more carefully. And I'll let it create my event handler, and I'll let it name my method. It puts in a not implemented exception, as you know, so that if I don't get to this, it'll remind me in the most
right.
obvious way. And then I'm going to take my code for opening that child window, which we may have to just adjust a drop. But let's take a quick look. And what that does is it says, okay, I called it form, not form one. It says, let's create a local variable, I'll call it wind, and that will be a new form, a new instance of that mm-hmm. page that I made, of the child window I made, set its vertical alignment to top, set its margin, and then show it.
Right.
Okay. What we're going to do over in, this is where things are just slightly different, over here in the application, is in the phone app, excuse me, is let's save everything, and then we'll go over to main page, and we will again drag a button on. And it is, of course, the same button. And you'll note that when I drag the button on, it actually has the look and feel appropriate to the phone.
Right.
And again, you know, there's much I would do to make this look nicer, but I'm just going to go ahead and say form on here. And it's called button one, so I know exactly what that's going to do. And I'm going to open up Solution Explorer, go to main page XAML, and there's the CS. Now, in here, the one surprise, of course, is that it is already been set up for whether it supports both portrait and landscape mm-hmm. or just one. The other thing to do, though, is to add that event handler, and that's done exactly the same way. Button one dot, and let's try not to do clear this time. Click. And again, if, you know, plus equal, and it sets up my event handler for me and throws the exception. Here is the code is slightly different. Instead of opening a child window, there are two ways to open up that other form, that other window. One
right.
is to change the root visual. The one that I tend to use, I'll show you right here because it's very straightforward, is I ask the navigation service for its static navigate method, passing the URI to that form.
And this is the same. You could use the navigation service to not navigate in the Silverlight Classic as well.
Yes.
If you're using the navigation
absolutely.
Framework.
Had I not used the child window, absolutely.
So it's not like this is specific. This isn't specific to Windows Phone 7.
That's correct. That's okay. correct. So let's go back to our web-based one and make sure that that builds, rebuild the solution, and run it.
And we cross our fingers, make sure
okay,
we got everything.
Well, you know,
succeeded.
It could happen. So I'm hitting F5, essentially. I click the go ahead and debug. It should open up the browser, and it should show us our initial page with the button. And if it doesn't, we will...
It's thinking.
I'm told that if there's a mistake here, you don't actually cut the tape. You like to go ahead and show that I blew it.
We like to see as many blown applications as possible.
There you go. Well, so far we're okay. Click form. There's our child window. There's the layout. Fine. Nothing surprising. That's great. That's standard Silverlight. We go over to the phone, the Wind Phone app, which has essentially exactly the same code. And we say...
You're in the classic.
I'm not in that. So we say, let's go to the Windows Phone application. There it is. Now, I have already started the emulator. And the advantage of that is I can just hit F5, and it will attach to that emulator and load this application in. I can leave the emulator running as I debug, stop debugging, debug, which is very, very convenient. So let's get that running and debugging, and it should attach to the emulator. There it goes, and it's going to open up our application. And we're going to click Form, and it brings up the form. And what I will point out is that if I want to type in here, of course, it'll bring up the keyboard. And a question I often get is, well, what is now? How do you fill in the zip? So I'll tab down to zip, and you'll notice that as, or I can, you know, flick the screen and click in state and zip, and the keyboard will come up, and then the whole screen will pop up to give us room for that. But the form is there, the exact same XAML we use, the exact same code modulo, how we opened up the page.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, everything you already know, you can pick up out of an existing Silverlight application, and allowing for the size, just put it right into a Windows Phone application. That's a heck of a start on building applications.
Right.
And I do think the statement of, you're an experienced Silverlight programmer, you're already an experienced WinPhone.
No, I think it's a really important point. And yes, this is an overly simple example that you're showing, but it really drives home that if you do Silverlight, you know how to do Windows Phone 7.
And that frees you to not only think about what kind of application you want to build, but to go beyond kind of the standard thinking of, okay, just shrink everything down and put it in, because that's become fairly easy. Now we can start thinking about, well, what else might I do to make this experience very, very satisfying for the
user? Exactly. Well, this is great. And we'll share out the code for the sample so everybody can see it. And you've got a blog series, as I understand.
I do. I start at the very beginning, but it's targeted at Silverlight developers, so it moves along at a pretty good clip on the basics. And we're going to take that all the way through developing and also using Blend to do that, and then bring that back into the Silverlight HVP and look at going beyond just shrinking the HVP, what else might we do with the phone? So very excited about that.
We've also got a Windows Phone 7 training kit that our team, the Evangelism team, put together as well, which I can put some links in the site for.
Extraordinary.
So we've got a lot of good learning materials, is my point, for Windows Phone 7.
Absolutely.
Now.
And all of this and the code snippets and so on will be up on my site, jesseliberty.com.
Well, thank you very much for coming on,
thank
Jesse.
Thank you, John. I always have a great time.
Anytime, man. And thank you for watching Silverlight TV.